Yesterday, we clarified a little bit this meeting Buddha, or seeing Buddha, the chapter in Dogen's Shobogenzo, seeing, meeting Buddha is meeting our own life, the awakened life we are. That's what Buddha is. Seeing, meeting Buddha in all directions. So today I want to pick up a little bit that same chapter, but a further part of it, to help us clarify what our life is, or to help us clarify so that when we miss our life, we can see clearly what needs to be done. So, this is several paragraphs further along. Shakyamuni Buddha said to all the realized beings, enter deep into samadhi and see Buddhas in the 10 directions. Another translation puts it a little differently. Profoundly entering the balanced state of jhana, meet Buddhas of the 10 directions. This is a quote from the Lotus Sutra. Dogen says, the whole universe is profound because it is in the Buddha lands of the 10 directions. Or the entire world, universe is deep because it is the Buddha land, the land of awakened life in all directions. 10 directions literally means the 4 points of the compass, the 4 bisecting points of those points, in other words, east, northeast, north, and so forth. Those are 8, and then up and down, 10 directions. But in a sense, 10 directions points to everywhere that we encounter. 10 directions points to past, present, future. 10 directions points to mental, physical directions as well. In all these directions, we only meet Buddhas because it is all in this awakened life that we are. But in order to do that, we need to enter profoundly and deeply into the present moment. Not as something that we have to do extra, but as something we need to allow to occur by us doing what supports us in being, if I say being present. Not being blinded by surface ideas and attachments. A very simple example, if you just take your hands and were to imagine one of the fingers, let's say the right thumb, decided I'm the most important finger in this hand. I should get all the blood. Pinky, you don't need as much blood as I need. Ring finger, you're not as worthy as I for the blood, and so on and so forth. And do things to get more blood, and when there's something on the left hand, of course, that hand is even less significant. So we need to adjust here to what is most important, the thumb. Now, of course, the thumb is different than the other fingers. The thumb is opposable and therefore enables us to pick things up in a different way than if we had to use two of the other fingers. for even one of the other fingers. Differences are fine. And yet, if we only see from what we might call the self-centered, arrogant, separate side of self, then when we encounter the other fingers, we think we're encountering something, someone else. And that if we're looking for where our true awakened state is, it's just inside this thumb, not in any of the other fingers. Now, in a way, we could take that example in many directions. But we can see how, in one sense, it's a very silly example. No one would think that. Because as far as we're concerned, all of these fingers are my fingers. Right? All of them. Not just the thumb. And yet we have no problem seeing all that we encounter as, well, most of that's not mine, not me. I'm just in here, in this, if you say, bag of skin and bones, or I'm in this story of what I call my and not mine. Which, of course, keeps us from entering the profound state of the present moment, which every one of our present moments extends in all directions. Not because I say so, but simply because if we're present, we discover for ourselves that despite sitting here in the chair, there's light that I see right now. Despite my calling it, I see light, still the light and me are not two, except if I insist that way. So the Lotus Sutra, and Dogen is talking about what is it that enables us to meet our true life in all directions. What is it that hinders us from meeting the life that we are in our interactions, if I say it in such a way, with all the circumstances that we encounter? So yesterday we used a quote from the Diamond Sutra. If we see both the many forms and non-form, we at once meet the Tathagatha, the thus come one, thus gone, or our true nature. But if we see only the forms, then we can get trapped by the forms. If we see only the non-forms, some sort of profound experience we have, and we say, oh, this is a true emptiness, and so on and so forth, even then we can get blinded. So here he's citing a different sutra to take us in a slightly different direction, and at the same time to deepen our ability to appreciate what our life is all the time. So Dogen says, the entire world is deep because it is in the Buddha land of the ten directions. It is neither broad nor narrow, neither large nor small. See, that's an important point. Saying it is neither broad nor narrow, neither large nor small, is pointing us in a direction of what we do. Now, of course, this piece of paper is larger than this book. And this room is larger than this book. And yet, that large and small are not significant to cause us to miss the Buddha land unless we hold on to them, unless we become attached to them, unless we build values based on he looks this way, she looks that way. Then we don't encounter the Buddha of the large or small, because small is not small, and therefore it can be small. See? Small is not small, and therefore it can be small. When you encounter someone and you believe you're large, small, black, white, smart, foolish, and so forth about them, then we get in trouble, because then we can't meet who, what we truly are. See, we are truly meeting Buddhas, if I use that word, if you don't want that words, our true nature in everyone we meet. Because it is true nature meeting true nature. But it's also our ability to miss that. When we act following circumstances. That this is called total inclusion. Total inclusion. Another way to say total inclusion, well, they both like word, total inclusion, total immersion, total presence. Okay? That means meeting who you meet and giving yourself totally to that meeting. That's how we can taste and discover what the true nature of the moment is. That is being deep samadhi, or deep balanced state of dhyana, balanced state. I like the word balanced state because it speaks to the natural balance of it, which it returns to as long as we don't hold ourselves in one or other direction, for or against. When we go for, fine, and then let go of it, return to the balanced state. When you go against, let go of that. See, it's the following circumstances. And what does he say after that? This action is not of 7 feet, 8 feet, or 10 feet. It is total inclusion with no outside and just the one word, enter. See, again, this 7 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet is simply a way of focusing us for a moment on what we do otherwise. We turn the world into categories that we believe are fixed, permanent, separate. We turn the world into categories that are the basis for us to react. And I don't just mean the world so-called outside. I mean the world so-called inside as well. Whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, painful, suffering, stressful, I like, I don't like, I want, I shouldn't. And you could add on all sorts of others. Those come and go. They're all part of this following circumstances. And yet, this is exactly where our opportunity of total inclusion is. Total inclusion means the world we encounter is all of us at this moment. See, saying we meet the Buddhas in the 10 directions means also the 10 directions is our Buddha life or our awakened life. We don't have to do something special to be the 10 directions because they are who we are, whichever way we sense them, whichever way it appears for us according to conditions and circumstances. See, the point of bringing this up, bringing Dogen up, or Dogen bringing the Lotus Sutra is Sadharma Pundarika Sutra, if you want the Sanskrit name of it, is to support and encourage us. I'll go jump ahead a little, I'll come back to what Dogen says. If you are not suspicious and fearful of a true dark dragon, you have no doubts to let go of at the very moment of seeing the Buddha. If you are not suspicious and fearful of a true dragon, or to say of your true nature, of the true universe of this moment, if you are not suspicious or fearful, or another way to say it, neither disbelieving nor fearing in the present moment of meeting Buddha, we endeavor to be this way. See? You have no doubts to let go of at the very moment of me seeing Buddha. It's disbelieving and fearfulness or suspiciousness of all sorts of circumstances. It's this thumb being fearful that the pinky is going to try to take my place. It's going to try to take more blood than I want, more nutrition. So I've got to watch out for that pinky. Now, it's silly when we say it with that. But we should notice that when that comes up, even in simple things. If you're, someone mentioned to me, being in a group speaking with a number of people, and they said something, and then some other people were saying things that they had wanted to say or that they had said previously, and they were getting the attention for it. Suspicious and fearful. Because they, not me. See, we hold on to the they, not me. Or me, not them. And it's not a problem except that we hold on to it. The fact that it arises is just a matter of cause and effect of who and what we've been, are, all sorts of things that we don't need to even explain. But when these habits arise, what we get to see is how all of a sudden we no longer believe that this universe I live in is a universe of Buddhas in all the 10 directions. Instead, we believe it's a universe of, and then you fill in what you believe it is. Who is not a Buddha? Who you encounter is not the awakened state right now of your life? Who is not your life? Someone said to me, well, use the word God instead of Buddha. Fine, I don't care if you want to use that word. You only meet God in all the 10 directions. In fact, it's been a long time since I read this, but I think there's a passage in a short story by J.D. Salinger called Teddy, where this little boy who has some profound experiences, and J.D. Salinger was very connected with certain, let us say, Indian practices. The little boy picks up his glass of milk and he looks at it, and he for a moment reflects, and then he starts drinking it, and then he says, this is God pouring God into God. See? Now, we don't have to go into that. But if you like that word, don't need any word. Just realize that wherever you look and wherever you encounter, you only encounter yourself. But it's up to you to encounter yourself. It's up to you to allow yourself not to be hindered. At the same time, it doesn't mean, oh, it doesn't matter, since it's all myself, I could take all my money and give it to them because it's all myself. We're not talking about that kind of, silly word attachment. We're not talking about that. Let me read a little bit more, and then I'll open this up. I know yesterday it was, he spoke a little bit long, so I'll try to keep it shorter today. To profoundly enter the balanced state of jhana is to meet the Buddhas of the 10 directions. Because he is able to exist, or because of entering so deep that no one can guide the person, to enter deep is to see Buddhas in the 10 directions. Because even if you brought it, the person would not accept it, Buddhas are in the 10 directions. Or, because she will not receive it, even if I take it, Buddhas are in the 10 directions. This is talking about not being swayed or attached with ideas of self and others and having and not having. That doesn't mean that in order to read the book I don't have to have it in my hand. But what happens when it's in your hand, or when you're speaking it, or when someone else gets or doesn't get? And it's not just people and things, and it's states of mind, it's states of body. As I said yesterday, it's states of pain and conditions of difficulty. All of those are meeting the Buddhas in the 10 directions, and therefore being able to act without getting caught by our attachment to what's appearing in the 10 directions. Okay, let me stop now so we could have a little time to talk, since I was, as I said, I was need to keep it short. So, yeah.
Yesterday you also referred to Bodhisattva's vow.
Yes.
And
speak up a little.
Okay. In this today too, a little bit about. So if she should turn against us, become a sworn enemy, abuse and persecute us, etc. We should sincerely, bow down, because this is basically the Buddha. Right?
This is basically our life.
So yeah.
And
what do we? Okay, and that's our life, and you're talking about the 10 directions. This is all of our life, right? This richness of our life, in a sense. I mean, if we're only focusing on this thumb, we're missing the rest of the life.
That's right.
Right. But sometimes, where I notice, when I finally notice, gee, I'm only focusing on the thumb, and there's this whole life there. But still sometimes I wonder, what am I supposed to be learning from the fact that I was focusing here?
It's not that you need to learn that you were focusing here, but just being able to let go of the limitations and the holding to there, then you will discover. Profoundly entering where you are is not in order to get something else, but to be as you are. See, when you still think, what am I supposed to learn? You're still in, what is the thumb supposed to get if I see this? Now, still, the thumb has to help when there's a splinter in here, even if it means holding down this hand so that the splinter can be removed. And the thumb and the hand might have to wield a knife if there's gangrene on a finger, and in order to keep it from infecting the rest of the hand and the body, that has to be cut or cauterized. See? So we shouldn't get caught. Sincerely bow down means be able to do what's called for now, not out of my thumb interest, but out of the interest of the being present moment. But we don't have to go to such extreme situations. We could see in little situations, day by day, where we encounter and push away and believe the 7 feet, 10 feet stories about what we're encountering, and we miss our life. See, it's always entering into this present moment. See? It is just the present moment. That's why we call it balanced state. If you think of balanced, means you are present. If you're in the future, it's unbalanced. If you're in the past, if you're in the regrets and the stories, it's unbalanced. It's not that those don't exist, but they're balanced in the way that the whole of Earth is balanced, even though there's different places and different parts and different weights, etc., etc. See, it's the state of entering the present moment so that we can be open or be kind-hearted. See, which is what I talked about yesterday. But it's not trying to match a model. It is being where we are, and we discover that where we are is where it is. That's why he says the balanced state of dhyana is impossible to get into or to get out of. If you think it's getting into something else or getting out of something, then you're already in a story of yourself and things and states that you have to remove, or that's missing the present moment. See, believing getting out of is missing the present moment. Being just this moment. And that's the hardest for us when we react to the present moment for whatever reasons. And it's our reactions that are our friends and opportunities to see what we're doing to hinder. That doesn't mean that being present stops you from seeing that there's something that's needed. That's the following circumstances. When we act following circumstances. This is total inclusion. This is action that's not 7 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet. It is total inclusion with no outside. See, isn't that interesting? No outside. Total inclusion. See, that's the nature of the universe. And that's hard for us, because when we include, we exclude. Well, that's our tendency. I like these feelings, but I don't want to have those feelings. I like being so and so, but not feeling such and such. See? But total inclusion means acting. And it's up to us to enter this moment. Yeah, Debbie.
What if some evening you're sitting out watching the sunset and you're enveloped in sadness? Are you here? Or can that be?
Isn't sadness the state of the present, one of the states of mind that occurs in the present moment? Mm-hmm. It's what we do with it. All sorts of states occur, arise and pass according to circumstances. It's not the circumstances that we have to go search for or figure out where did this come from, unless there's a reason to do that. It's the sadness arises, but we also don't have to hold on to it and beat on it. I shouldn't feel so sad. Why is it continuing? It's whose fault? It's happens only to me, not to anyone else. I just made up a few those are just the variations that came to mind for me. We each have our own variations of physical and mental states that arise as our life. And that's what's hard to see as the Buddha's in all the 10 directions. That's what's hard to be both the form and non-form of it, by entering totally. See, entering into the present moment is being form, non-form of it, is just this moment. So, all sorts of wonderful, sometimes difficult, sometimes painful states arise in this life that we are. Of course, being human means all sorts of states arise. Some that we so-called want and some we so-called don't want. Some, and we could go on, but I've said it. So, yeah. And then we also make choices to see what nurtures our life. What nurtures, when I say our life, I don't just mean mine, but I mean our. So even if you're on the phone with someone, knowing that you're on the phone, Buddha talking to Buddha, speak in that way. It's more difficult when we start getting to texting, because we tend to get even less present sometimes. We tend to generate reactive mental habits and attitudes, whether it's, what was the word I used, disbelieving and suspicious. I think that's the word he used. Yes, suspicious and fearful. Disbelieving, fearful, suspicious. It's easy to become that with virtual messages of all sorts. And I'm sure you see that with, to use the expression, snarky and other kinds of responses. Because we react habitually and quickly that way. Sometimes we do it in face-to-face encounters as well. So we've forgotten that we're encountering Buddhas, that we're responding to Buddhas. We're Buddhas responding. Let's say it the other way. So that's who we are too. Meaning we are responding from this balanced state of not tall, not short. Not like, not dislike the message that comes. Even though I might disagree and say, no, I think this is a problem, or I will have to disagree with you. In your case, you might say, well, we'll have to meet in court on this because we're going to appeal this decision, or whatever. And yet, how do we not add on to that? See?
Debbie, you reminded me of an aspect of my practice that is current for me, and it's every now and then, for whatever reason, it just arises, that this memory of my younger brother Ted. Ted died last year, and his last hours were excruciating pain, terror. You just see this terrible pain, and you just deathly afraid that he was going to die. So, like right now, that comes up. Unbidden. Just it arises. And I struggle with the what I would call the unjustness of that, and unfairness of that, and not rightness of that. And what I'm trying to do now, and a lot of it has to do with what you have said, is to be kind to that feeling, to as much as I don't like it, to allow that feeling just to be what it is, and not give it more energy by trying to create some opposition to it or denial of it. And just try to be present and to be loving to not just the memory of my brother, but the sorrow that still comes up.
Yeah. And that's being kind-hearted to the sorrow of the moment. Being kind-hearted to people who we think are wrong, arrogant, foolish, unskillful, whatever other many categories we have. Or being kind-hearted to our states that are, how could I be so stupid, foolish, greedy, Or how could it hurt so much and I be so Being open and loving or kind-hearted is a nice reminder to see what's called for right now. When I'm, even when I'm already caught up in reacting in all sorts of ways to what's here. Okay, last one.
Well, since we're on the theme, though it's been 10 years now, it doesn't seem possible. I have for 10 years used the word wallow. And
How have you used the word wallow?
In that moment, and just be with that moment and actually it's a joyful moment, even though it's maybe crying or whatever, it's what you were saying, just be in that moment.
Yeah, but not that moment, this moment. The 10 years part is the story.
Right.
When it comes, whatever comes up now, it is now. That it's now the coming up. And that's the important part, is to be with it as it is now and see where we want to go back and turn it into this long, it's been 10 years, I'm carrying this, or here's this thing from 10 years. But in a way, to have that just be gentle with that, be able to let that it's 10 years go part and be with it as it is now and see. Then it's not wallowing. See, wallowing is over time. Wallowing is carrying along a burden with great attachment or disgust or distaste or so on, and fearfulness.
Yeah, I don't quite agree with you because I didn't take it that way when I used that word just because it was in that moment, not to let that moment go and be fearful of it.
Yeah, okay. The word wallow to me has that sense, and I might be wrong. It's just the way. But yes, our life is unfolding this moment, and it's only this moment. See, the rest is our story about this moment, which hinders us because of we go to before or after or to our story. See, it's this moment where we need to stay. Okay, thank you all.
Copyright Elihu Genmio Smith.